Good afternoon, Gamecock fans. Today is Sunday, the 22nd of February, the year of our Lord 2026. This is JC Sherbert here with an ITG semi, I don't want to say emergency podcast, but a special episode. Wanted to come in and chat with you about the Jacarius Peak situation. Kind of rumors started breaking yesterday. On message boards about an offensive lineman being hurt. This is just to give you some background. And I checked into it, checked with a couple of different contacts of mine, and they confirmed it was the elite transfer offensive tackle from NC State, Jacarius Peak. I was able to confirm it, reported it yesterday afternoon. Other outlets on three and also CBS Sports have backed that up. Wasn't a fun story to report, obviously. And those of you that were on the ITG newsletter or that follow me on X knew about it, but do want to encourage everybody to do that. I hope that the news isn't all bad, but around here sometimes, it just kind of seems to be that way. You can go to insidethegamecocks.com now to sign up for the newsletter. That'll be the website when it launches. We're launching the end of Q1. Early Q2 of 2026, so it won't be long, but probably about 5% of what you're going to get on InsideTheGamecocks.com, you'll get from the newsletters. Just a sampling, just a smidge, just an appetizer. But anyway, those of you that signed up yesterday, I certainly appreciate it. There were hundreds of you, so thanks for that. And we've simplified that process. There's no confirmation email. You have to just put your email in and you start getting the newsletter. If you don't get it, check in your spam folder. Anyway, hell of a way to start off the special episode here with this important stuff, with the, I guess, the jockeying of a newsletter, right, JC? So anyway, yeah, put that out yesterday, and it's just unfortunate. And my understanding is there's a lot around social media, that I haven't been able to confirm. I'm not going to sit here and say people are wrong. I have confirmed he hurt his knee playing basketball. Hadn't really been a guy that's had a big injury history either. Really in shape, great athletic guy. And some of you may wonder, what the heck is he doing playing basketball? And I don't know that it was if it was even at the 3-on-3 team activity that they had at the basketball practice facility the other day. I would assume, but I'm not in the business of assuming details and telling you that, oh yeah, that's true. And then, he was playing in a pickup game. So a couple of points on this, because Shane Beamer's taking some heat on social media about it, and I get it. It's like, man, with the way injuries have happened around here, and if it was in a team activity, again, I don't know that for sure. Then, obviously people are going to blame the coach and whatever. So he shouldn't have done that. But it's one of those things. I want to explain this. And, we know a lot of people that played college football. And I just want to say that those guys play a lot of basketball. They always have. Basketball is something that, pickup game or whatever. So I don't know that there's any kind of it's one of those things. Well, gosh. It's factual to say if it did happen with the organized, if they hadn't have had the organized team event, then it wouldn't have happened. But Beamer's had this every year. And they also do other workout, strenuous workout style stuff with Luke Day and the strength program, that can also, get you injured. And what are they supposed to do? Not work out? I mean, that's they lose every game if they did that. So it's part of it. So playing basketball in and of itself and having an organized team activity where someone may get hurt, is not a coaching foul or a, every coach in the country does stuff like that. They have cookouts where guys jump off diving boards and run around. And I mean, you can get hurt doing anything. Is it unfortunate? Yes. Is it factual to say that? In some alternate reality, had they maybe canceled that thing that Jacarius Peak would not be hurt? Yeah, absolutely. And I get it. And it's been a frustrating time. And I'm not coming down on anybody. I'm just saying that the reality of it is that basketball, playing basketball, I mean, if you're gonna ban your players, you're not gonna keep them from playing basketball. Football players do it all the time. Baseball, everybody. Pickup game of basketball is common at the college level. In fact, it's good for you. Keeps you in shape. I mean, Mike Morgan is older than me. He's in his 50s. Still plays on organized basketball team in Atlanta. Can you get hurt doing it? Yes, but you can also get hurt lifting weights. You can also get hurt in spring practice. You can also get hurt here, there, and yonder. And I understand that the concept of, well, if they're going to get hurt, let's get them hurt during football. But I mean, keep in mind, these are human beings. You're not just going to keep them in a bubble, right? And in football practice, they do take precautions against injuries and stuff. I mean, they don't go out there and just, destroy their bodies and things like that. It's just an unfortunate situation, right? It's just, and that was the crown jewel of the transfer portal class. Plus, he's at a position where the Gamecocks need a lot of help, where they, left tackle. And I believe he would have been the starting left tackle, where they just haven't been good. And it's just like, man, here we go again. And one of the things I think, looking at it on paper, and you don't play games on paper, right? That could derail the Kendall Briles offense. Because, I love that Lenore Sellers is going to be in this offensive system. I mean, I went on and on about the Shula system. I was able to tolerate the Dowell Loggins system because they moved the ball and got results. And I didn't really think 2023 was his fault because, oh, they had injuries on the offensive line. Certainly wasn't a fan of the first offensive coordinator, as you well know. But this is a college system. It's a high school system. And so I've been excited about this myself, thinking about Lenoris in that thing and the skill talent South Carolina has and even the running backs. And, they got some new offensive linemen, but that's the one thing that can derail it because you're trying to go fast. And if somebody's just destroying you up front, I've seen it. We've all seen it before. Think about what Georgia up until this year has typically done to Tennessee. And Tennessee hadn't scored a whole lot, right? Yeah, that's why. I mean, Tennessee could go out and score 49 on Nick Saban against Alabama, but when they got in those games, Georgia would beat them up on the line of scrimmage. And they also, Georgia played pretty physical in the secondary. And also, Will Muschamp really is, if you look at his history calling defenses against Josh Heupel, he's done pretty well. And I don't know if it's tendencies or not, because Heupel's evolved since he's been at Missouri, but, Georgia, Will Muschamp, those guys seem to have it figured out. However, okay, so that's beside the point. But the point overall, as it relates to the Gamecocks, is that if you do not protect and you cannot run block and you cannot block, it doesn't matter, because there's people in the backfield, the Norris is getting hit. I don't think South Carolina did a very good job of scheming around their weaknesses last year, just to be frank, under Mike Shula. A lot of seven-step drops and power runs with a group that can't block. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not a coach. But and Kendall Briles won't do that. They'll do some things schematically to work around it if they're bad up front. I'm not waving the white towel here. But I understand the point of all that is I understand the frustration because that's the one spot where you look at it and go, gosh, if they're bad again, it doesn't really matter who's calling the plays. It's going to be another long year. So that's tough. Now, here's the not so bad news. It's not an injury that completely rules him out for next season. I don't want to get into the total diagnosis of it because I'll let Shane Beamer do that. But it is something that potentially would be a recovery time that would keep him out for the year. I'm not saying he'll be back, but I'm also going to tell you that without a shadow of a doubt, and Chris Lowe kind of confirmed this with his reporting last night from On Three, that it's not necessarily going to keep him out for the whole year. There's a chance he could come back. Maybe, I mean, stranger things have happened. Also, you got to see how he responds to the recovery and all that good stuff. I would not count on him being in the lineup for Kent State. If he is, great. You know, and that's why in the report I put out yesterday, I said indefinitely. You know, there's no this is not so I do expect him to be out for spring practice. The good news is he's really good. And he's a, you know, if he can come back and get back in game shape and be fine and move around like he has been, he'll do good things. The question is, will he? Everybody's body responds different, and we know that. I'm not going to sit here and predict medicine and biology. You know, that would be fruitless of me. But so there is a chance that they won't lose him for the whole season and he can get back and play. I'm not ruling anything out, though. And with this history of injuries around here, sometimes you've got to prepare for the worst case scenario. And I think most good coaches do that. And I think South Carolina will. So a lot of people are saying Josiah Thompson. I don't know. I just don't know. I like Josiah Thompson. I think his best days are still ahead of him. There's some talk about his health out there. I haven't heard, been able to confirm anything definite. I keep getting asked questions about it. I know that after his freshman year, you know, that he was a little banged up. I remember he had the injury late. But gosh, hopefully he can be healthy. If not, who knows? Even if he is, I don't know that that's the left tackle. I would assume, but you can't assume in this game, right? So where does that leave Carolina? Well, it leaves them sort of green at tackle overall, because if your idea was, okay, Peak will start at left tackle, and then you've got over at right, if you move Josiah to right, or if Shedd Surratt stayed at right tackle, and I'm cool with that, you know. Thought Shedd played pretty well last year. I think he's a good player. Then, yeah, you know, the interior guys, they recruited a lot of them. And if you pencil in pencil, Carter Miller at center, then, you know, you got to fill the two guard spots. And you got Hank Purvis. You know, you've got some other guys. If Surratt stays out there, if Thompson was there, Surratt would be a guard. You almost had four that you could kind of guess and say, okay, if Thompson's at right tackle, Peak is at left, Surratt is at left guard, Miller is at center. He's got a right guard, you know. Who's going to win the right guard? Will it be Purvis or other? But now, you know, with the, you know, the injury, you've got to get ready for Kent State and Towson and Mississippi State and Alabama and whoever else comes after that, in order to get ready for the season with someone at left tackle. So, option one is they'll do this. They'll go through spring practice and, kind of evaluate where they are. Guys will get a lot of reps at the various spots. Damola Ajadahun, redshirt freshman, talented guy. Saw some time at right tackle last year as a true freshman from Duluth, Georgia. Gamecocks flipped him from Georgia Tech on signing day. He's a big pickup. Love him. Is he going to be ready as a redshirt freshman? And on top of that, ready to play left tackle. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, as far as returning guys go, I think Blake Franks, who's also coming back, could be maybe an emergency right tackle. I think his future is inside at 6'5", 320. So what of the transfer portal guys? Unless Zion Giles is just your best one. And he even made a lot of the recruiting guys at least think he's an interior guy long term. I think a right tackle could be something he could play. Well, it's so hard because it's a left tackle, you know. And if it's not Josiah Thompson, you know, there's not a one of these guys I really looked at and thought starting left tackle. Now, that doesn't mean they can't do it. I've seen, you know, and the other thing you have to keep in mind is on the offensive line, you can have one great player, but if the other four stink, it's going to look like crap. I mean, it's a five as one position. You've heard that. That's pretty obvious. It's part of the problem last year. You'd have players. By the way, the Gamecock women won 85-48 against Ole Miss today with game day there. They're on a roll right now. But you've got to still have five playing as one. We've had good individual guys that we've seen around here that we've put our eyes on, but then somebody else ultimately screws it up. So you have to have that. You have to have that. So who are the guys? I didn't mention Nolan Hay in the returner, but he did play some tackle. He's not as, I mean, none of these guys are gonna, he's 6'3", 328, listed on the roster. That's up about 20 something pounds. And I don't know. Like I said, it's not gonna be ideal. So assuming, let's just assume that because, let's just assume Shedd Surratt stays at right. Right. Let's not go too far and say, well, they're gonna have to get two tackles. Maybe they will. In spring practice, maybe two of these portal guys are absolutely the best and Shedd goes inside. But since he's got three games starting at right tackle, let's leave him at right. And we'll open up the left guard spot. Right. And see who does it. Because I still pencil, not pen, Carter Miller at center. But this, so you're looking for a left tackle. So and this is option A, go through spring practice. I got off track there with the score and stuff. I look at Seth Smith from Northern Arizona. He's a older dude, 6'4", 307, was a D end in high school. Worked his way up, I think fifth or sixth year from Chandler, Arizona. They liked him out of the portal and they got him. Now he is listed at like what, 6'7", something like that. 6'4", 307. But keep in mind, peak was 6'4", 310. So can he do the bending thing? Can he get out there and compete? That's the question. Make the jump. I don't know. DeMola. And I don't know is going to be the answer for all these guys. Because I just, when you're talking about a left tackle, that's a kind of a different ball game. You're usually matched up against a really good pass rusher. Not always. Sometimes they try to line up their best pass rusher against your right tackle. We found that out with Dylan Stewart going against people's right tackle. But left tackle certainly is protects the blind side. You know the drill there. You need to be competitive there. But Seth Smith, I think, now enters the conversation. Can Armando Neves from New Mexico State compete? I think he's very important for depth right now. We'll see what he does in spring practice, certainly. He's 6'6", 315. Two guys that I maybe thought would be on the interior now, I think, could come into play. And the first one's a player from East Carolina they got this originally from Charlotte, Rojo Poku. He's a player, 6'5", 320, that we've talked about a lot on coffee and on the morning show and the show. Jamie Bradford guaranteed he'd start. I hate that it may end up being because Pete got hurt. But, you sort of had a hard time. Well, if Surratt starts and then who's the right guard, that kind of thing. Where's Poe? Well, could he be the left tackle? It's a good question. Again, he played some tackle at ECU and played some on the inside. He's kind of a swing guy. You're talking about a left tackle in the SEC. I will say this. I think athletically and feet wise and build, I think he could do it. Do I think that's a, on paper right now without before spring practice? Would I say that's the most ideal thing? No. No. The most ideal thing is for Josiah Thompson to maybe go back to left tackle, but we'll see what happens there. And then we'll see what happens even if he is healthy and they compete. I mean, Josiah's got to compete for his job like everybody else. But Rojo Poku, Seth Smith, those are guys to watch. DeMola, who I wish maybe he would have gotten some reps at left tackle last year. Maybe he did. And then another guy, Dane Arnett, again, kind of more of a right tackle-ish guy, but. Do you move Shedd Surratt to left tackle? I don't know. I'm gonna say I don't know a lot, like I said. But Dane Arnett, 6'5", 302. He's tough. He's a tough sucker. Coming in from Ferris State, Michigan guy, likes to play physical. And then this may sound crazy, and it's probably more at right. It's rare where you see a guy at left tackle this size, but he did play left tackle last year for Missouri State. We all love him. Abubakay Nabugu, Boo Boo. Love his film. Love the work he's done in the weight room. Saw the video the other day. Delaware State, Missouri State, and now here. But he's 6'2", 310. So the question you have to ask yourself is, can you go to battle in the SEC with a 6'2", 310 offensive tackle? It's happened before. I mean, there's been guys that have not been ideal size at glamour positions that have done quite well. I mean, it's rare. It is very, very rare. Can he do it? He did it in they're not FCS. They got to FBS this year and they went to a bowl. He did it in Missouri State last year, but we know there's a little bit different type of deal. You know, I talk about his film and I like it. His film at tackle is good for that level. But where I kind of saw him was inside at this level. I think inside he's got a chance to be a starter. But you're getting kind of bunched up in there. Maybe he slides inside. One of these guys goes outside. At the end of the day, a lot of battle, a lot of potential on the interior, but then tackle. It's hard to find tackles, man. You know, and then when Darius Gray gets here over the summer, what could he kick a guy out to the outside? I don't know. Darius in high school can play every position, but are you talking another true freshman starting left tackle for South Carolina? I don't know. But there we go again. I don't know. But there aren't a lot of options that are known. And that happens whenever you have to redo the room. We just, who knows what these guys will do. I mean, I would really look as far as the left tackle spot goes after Josiah Thompson. You know, Damola, Smith, and Poku. I don't know in which order I would go. Damola has the skill set to be out there, but he's still awfully young. Now, look, he's not a true freshman. He's a redshirt freshman. So maybe he takes it. You know, Seth Smith's on the opposite end of that. He's a 6-year-old guy, playing his best football, you know. So this guy, I mean, I don't know, a 6-year guy. Played in 31 games with 25 starts last year at Northern Arizona. He did start all 12 games at left tackle. My guess is right now, because before I was kind of telling you like my opinion, my guess is maybe that's the guy that goes out there first if it's not Damola. Just because, again, he's got that experience at left tackle, even though it's at the FCS level. And everybody's going to go, here we go again. And they're going to bring up Sidney Fugar. I know it. But again, Sidney Fugar became a FBS level starter at Baylor and was pretty good for them. And when they recruited him at Carolina, they weren't recruiting him to start. He had 3 years left. They were recruiting him to redshirt and develop, or not even redshirt, but develop and be a backup, and then injuries force that in. This guy, Seth Smith, is a 6th-year guy. He's in his 6th year. They're not bringing him in to develop, right? And you know, he got on the radar pretty early. And some of our fans out there that listen to the show, when I say our, I'm talking about the show's fans. They were trying a kid from Northern Arizona, blah, you know, but he did start all 12 games at left tackle and has that experience. So we'll see how that goes. But if I had to guess right now, if there's no Josiah in spring, and again, there may not be. You know, you just hear things, right? And you get asked things, and then you talk to people about things, and you know, you kind of can put the tea leaves, you know, read the tea leaves a little bit, but sometimes you read those tea leaves and they're not correct. Or they're correct, but it's not as big of a deal as people think. I mean, a lot of folks are passionate and things like that. But certainly, I think that there is reason to speculate or wonder or ask if maybe he, you know, is Josiah going to be good for spring practice. More on Poku. Yeah, he was a second team all conference last year and played right guard, played 975 snaps. So his experience at tackle was earlier in the year. He also, with the right guard, he and Hank Purvis, I think we're going to probably battle it out there under normal circumstances, pre-injuries and stuff. Hank's the transfer from Purdue. Hank's younger than Rojo too, but in Brile's offense, that 6'5", 320 is kind of the sweet spot for that guard spot. They're 320, 330. They're the bigger guards. Your left guards are smaller. Of course, Surratt, 325. Surratt's probably, if I had to bet right now, I would say Surratt just stays out at right tackle like last year. Of course, keep this in mind. You have a brand new offensive line coach and a brand new scheme, and so they may see things completely different. It may not really matter where you played last year. We may see something crazy, right? There's no spring game this year, so or I'm sorry, they haven't announced that yet, but there's probably not going to be a spring game this year, so we'll just have to see. But and then maybe Ebubuike Nwabugwu gets in the mix at left guard, right, with Surratt out at tackle, and you go Seth Smith, Ebubuike, or maybe Arnett at left guard, center Carter Miller, Nolan Hay would probably back him up. And then Rojo Poku or Hank Purvis at right guard, right tackle would be Surratt. And maybe Demola, Armando Neves. Maybe Demola backs both up. Who knows? And I don't count out Armando Neves. I mean, this guy's very physical. Beamer mentioned this in the press car. All these guys play with an edge. So that's the good news about the portal class, in addition to it being older. Injuries happen, folks. I know that's down. I know with the way sports are going around here, that's the last thing you wanted to hear. National media folks were starting to talk up Peak, and that was it's kind of been, from what I've read, one of the cornerstones of South Carolina is going to be good. They got an elite, and he's as elite as they come. He's also a Feldman freak. South Carolina had three of those. And that's a tough loss. There's no spin here. That if he can't go next season, and or if he can and he's not the same, there's no, it's always gonna, and hypothetically would have been better with him. He's just that good of a player. But there's a reason why everybody wanted him out of the portal, and South Carolina, got him and all. So. But back to the injury itself, like I said, I heard it may not be as bad as what was once feared. I think that's why, there's some speculation he could return. So hope for the best, but you always want to prepare for the worst, right? Anyway, tonight on Chief Sports, we have the late night Gamecock show. I'm sure Alex and Matt will be talking about this. SEC Sunday night. I wouldn't be surprised if they brought it up with Craig McMichael and our man Rob Williams. I'll be back in the morning with coffee. Again, sign up for the newsletter insidethegamecocks.com. This has been an ITG special with JC Sherbert. Wish the news was better, but wanted to pop on and break it down for you guys today here on this Sunday. Talk to you soon. Paula.